Bickley and Murata. Social Studies. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
It's 9 o'clock. Time for some Social Studies when we delve into our Twitter account at Bickley_Murata with Sarah Cazell. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Doing good.
What's happening, Sarah?
You know, usually Twitter is a pretty scary place, but on Mondays, Social Studies after a Cardinals win, it's usually a pretty good spot.
Benign, friendly.
Yeah. Even
harmless.
Joyful sometimes.
Wow. Sure.
Huh. Yeah. Well, let's get into it. We are on Twitter at Bickley_Murata. If you follow us, yay. Thank you. Hope you're enjoying. If you don't, please do follow us again at Bickley_Murata. We get social with you on Social Studies. We post questions there every day. I pull my favorite answers. And here we go. So as we always do on a Monday, win or no, but more often, yes, we're asking for your takeaways from yesterday's game. What were your biggest takeaways, bad, good, whatever, from yesterday's game against the Bears?
Yeah, I've given mine several times.
Well, we're in hour three of the show.
Just
four.
So if you haven't been listening all show, screw you, audience.
Getting Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins back. And really, to add, especially on the Hopkins point, not having to rely on him too heavily.
Yeah.
He got a chance to ease his way back in, which is good because those hamstrings, we talked about it last week, those hamstrings can linger. They can pop up. They can get aggravated very easily. And we wondered about his effectiveness in cold weather. So the fact that they didn't have to lean very heavily on DeAndre Hopkins was another takeaway for me.
It's almost like they got him a touchdown right away.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay,
yeah.
Good.
All right, you're good. You can go.
No, I don't think that had anything to do with it at all. It was a very risky throw to make on fourth and two.
Yes.
It really was. My takeaway was just the visuals. It was the scene and the sight of all that weather, and it was the scene and the sight of the Cardinals embracing it. And that to me was something that impacted a lot of people. I've heard a lot of national commentators, whoa, the West Coast Dome team, they went in and they played well in that weather. Now, we know we've seen this team play well in Nashville. We've seen them play well in Seattle. We've seen them play well in Santa Clara. So this is nothing new. It's just that narrative was really, really off. They're worse at home. They're worse in the warm weather in the Dome Stadium than otherwise.
Yeah.
So that's what it was to me. It was the idea that there was no pretty boy football. It was winning in the muckiest, ugliest conditions possible.
It was ugly boy football.
Yeah, and that to a lot of people, though, perceptually, that proved a point.
Right. You like to see that toughness,
yeah,
that grit.
Right,
yeah.
That's it.
Rumor has it that Bears fan is still trying to find his way out of the poncho.
Oh, my God.
Still hasn't quite gotten there.
I was fascinated by that. I had a huge smile on my face, and the fact that the camera stayed on him for so long.
It was funny.
Part of me is like, what is this guy doing?
Oh, he wasn't the only one, man.
No, but then, like, when the camera finally went off of him, I was disappointed. I wanted to find out what happened.
I know. How does this end? I'm invested. Let's go to some of our listener submissions on Twitter. Biggest takeaways from yesterday's win over the Bears. Michelle says definitely the Cardinals' physicality. As a longtime Cardinals fan, it is a great feeling. I love, love, love James Conner. Red Sea Guy, his biggest takeaway is that Andy Dalton was the Cardinals' player of the game. Ouch, but also yes. Jimmy Philly's biggest takeaway is the Cardinals can win in tough weather conditions, plus with a stomach full of deep dish.
I don't know. The Cardinals put that out on social media themselves. Did you see when they were coming off the practice field? The question that was posed to the players as they walked into the locker room, do you prefer New York-style pizza or Chicago deep dish? And there was a split. But the people who don't like Chicago deep dish, the players, they were really adamant about it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they haven't had the right kind.
Okay, so
that's what I think, and I'm dying on that hill.
Look, deep dish is your pick between the two.
But Lou Malnati's all day long.
It's tremendous, but it's also something you could probably eat realistically once a year.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. You can't go that well that often.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I love both, but New York style will always be my priority.
They're two different things, essentially, though.
They are. They're two different styles. That's the name.
What?
But I mean, it's almost unfair to compare them because it's like eating two different foods.
Well, it's not that drastic. That's the same ingredients.
There's the same ingredients to a lot of things, though.
Certain we will poll about this on social studies later in the week.
Oh, we've done it all.
Let's get to some of our other responses. Biggest takeaways from yesterday's win. Elaine Davis says, if only we could stop the run more consistently, we would be damn near unbeatable. From my husband, who is not on Twitter. Hello, Elaine Davis. Thank you for listening. And then Yoko Solo says, biggest takeaways, aside from the athleticism of Zach Allen with that one-handed catch and big man run, the opposing running backs, are still finding ways to get to the second level. It's going to be really interesting to see how that Christmas Day game plays out with Jonathan Taylor, which is something y'all had mentioned earlier in the show.
Sure, but there's always the chance, too, that the Colts just stop using Jonathan Taylor like they did against Tampa Bay. There's always that chance. We can hope.
Looking forward to finding out. Yes. All right. Moving on to our next question. With the return of DeAndre Hopkins, two catches, 32 yards and a touchdown, just on two targets. His first game back since late October in that Thursday night football game. We are asking, which DeAndre is more valuable to his team? DeAndre Hopkins or DeAndre Ayton?
Oh, wow.
DeAndre.
Not an easy one.
DeAndre Bembry. DeAndre Hunter. That's a very tough question. So DeAndre Hopkins missed three games.
I was going to say, both teams played without.
About one-sixth of the season, kind of. One-sixth of the basketball season would be how many games? 15 games? About 15 games.
Sure. I'll trust that.
I think I have to give the nod to Ayton right now because I think that would affect them more over one-sixth of the season than DeAndre Hopkins did. And
they won every game that Ayton didn't play.
Yeah, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to vote for DeAndre Hopkins because the offense is not the same when he's not out there. They've won, but it hasn't been the same high-flying kind of stuff. Whereas, especially with JaVale McGee backing him up this year, I think it's close. It's a good question. I'm going to cast my vote for D-Hop.
Okay. Right now, 61% of our voters say DeAndre Ayton is more valuable to his team. Quite a turnaround from even if we had done this poll last year. 61% DeAndre Ayton, 39% say DeAndre Hopkins. Prince Reno says 100% Ayton. It is not even close. Take them both out for the season and the Suns would miss him way more. And then Baylor Gibbs with the opposite response. I love DeAndre Ayton to death, but you've got to go for Hopkins. Over the past two seasons, he has had at least four unbelievable game-winning touchdowns. DA is a stud, and the Suns need him on defense, but when the game is on the line in the fourth quarter, he's not getting the clutch looks. So it's all about clutchness for Baylor Gibbs here.
Yeah.
All right, our final question in today's edition of Social Studies. Lots to talk about yesterday's terrible weather in Chicago at Soldier Field. We are asking, be it heat or cold, what is the worst weather you have ever experienced in person that you've been in the middle of?
That's easy for me. Sitting in a bathtub in Indianapolis the day 19 tornadoes swirled through that state.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was curtains for me that night.
19?
19 different tornadoes spawned in the state of Indiana that day.
No.
But and I was driving back from a vacation, and it all happened with me in a bathtub with tornadoes going.
Couldn't you have picked another time to shave your legs?
Yeah. Did you at least enjoy the bath?
That's where they told us to go.
I mean, bad weather is bad weather, but when it's bad weather to the point where you fear for your life, that's awful.
Yeah.
For me, I've been, I don't know, pretty coddled on that front. But there was once I was on a road trip in DeKalb, Illinois in December. Mm. The hotel I was at did not have any coffee. So I thought, it's only like a quarter mile walk down the road to get a cup of coffee.
Oh, no.
I thought I was going to be an icicle by the time I got outside the hotel.
Wow.
It was not my smart move.
And also the coffee probably would have frozen immediately.
Yeah, it didn't stay warm very, very long.
Wow.
But I also thought, you know, this is the home place of Cindy Crawford. So if I left the hotel, my chances of meeting Cindy Crawford went up exponentially.
A little bit of heat in that cold, babe.
Yeah, right.
One response that I want to read and then we'll go to break. Remigio Cordero was in a microburst in Queen Creek back in 1996.
Oof.
He said he went to close up his aunt's chicken coop door and damn near got his head ripped off trying to get back to the house. The outdoor trampoline nearly took his head off. He he says.
Oh, my goodness.
Flying trampoline.
Wow.
That's scary. Like, I've never had the I'm scared for my life weather story.
No, me neither.
Unlike Bic and our tweeter there.
Yeah. A lot of funny responses. Go find them on Twitter at Bickley_Murata.
But we're all from Phoenix, too, so we can all relate to the 123-degree days, too. That's not very
just
pleasant.
Just that.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks.
Social studies every day at 9 o'clock. You can get involved at Bickley_Murata. Coming up next, in the off season, people wanted physicality. Well, guess what? You got some. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Murata. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata, song of the day. Brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Sonic Garlic Butter Bacon Burger for a limited time, only at Sonic.
Two birds with one stone.
All right.
Song of the day out of the way. And it leads us into our topic here.
Physical.
Nine-inch nails covering Adam Ant. Physical. How much did we talk about in the offseason, the Arizona Cardinals becoming a more physical team? And credit to Steve Keim in the front office.
Yeah.
That was one box they checked several different times. You watch this team play. It came up earlier in the show, and it's not limited to the secondary, but that's where it shows up the most. Secondary of years past compared to now. The one holdover really at the cornerback position is Byron Murphy. You pointed it out earlier. He got called for a penalty, but it was a physical penalty.
Oh,
and he's becoming a much more physical football player in year three for him. Robert Alford's been on this team for a while. We haven't seen him out on the field. A physical type cornerback. They add Marco Wilson, another physical cornerback. And then, I mean, Buda Baker is physical in his own right, and Jalen Thompson is becoming kind of this new breed of big hitting safety, because you can't be the typical big hitting safety that we've seen in years past. He's kind of adapted his game. He talked about it last week, playing cleaner than he ever has. That's where it stands out the most, but it's kind of permeated throughout this whole team. This is a physical football
game. And I love it. I am so here for that. That is why they're able to win road games. You can't win road games if you don't love that kind of challenge. And you mentioned Buda Baker. Buda Baker stood up David Montgomery near the goal line yesterday. And that, I mean, that play in and of itself, I'm like, wow, that takes some attitude to do that to a dude who outweighs you by 40 pounds, maybe. You can go across the Cardinals defense and you can see where they're, but Byron Murphy Jr., very physical. Isaiah Simmons, whom I thought played very well yesterday. I thought he was all over the place.
Mm-hmm. There was a couple hits on the sideline where he really lowered the boom.
Oh yeah. And then there was a play that astounded me when he was going in on a tackle and he just violently punched at the football. So that club punch rip thing is very real with the Cardinals. You saw that happen. Buda Baker, obviously very, very physical. Chandler Jones yesterday seemed to be feeling it a little bit. Okay,
early on, too.
He
established, he made a couple plays on that first possession by the Bears, and you're like, well, this is going to be a Chandler Jones game where he shows up. Now, it didn't show up in the sack numbers, but he was in a lot of plays.
Got a half of a sack, right, yesterday?
Yeah.
But he also deflected the pass on that key interception.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, and then offensively, you look at James Conner, you look at just the way this football team is playing, and they look like they could be, the Baltimore Ravens at times. This is not a team with a history. This physicality is not baked into their DNA the way it is with the Ravens, the way it is with the Steelers, the way it is with the Titans, the way it is with some teams.
And that's part of the thing about changing the DNA and who they brought in.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't even mention J.J. Watt because he's not playing right now, but that's a physical guy that changes the culture of the way you play.
Yeah. And the fact that he is aiming for a return, how real that is, who knows? But the fact that that's out there as a thing, and that he's there working out with the team, that's powerful. That keeps that that keeps all of everybody on edge.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but the fact that he is working towards it, and again, we've seen this from J.J. Watt in the past. You think he's gone for the year and his team continues to work and he continues to work to get back with his team to come back for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
How cool was it, too, on Zach Allen's interception? Pretty much by the time he got up off the ground, the first guy there to meet him in street clothes down the sideline was J.J. Watt.
Yeah, it was very cool.
About the physical nature of it, too, D.J. Humphries definitely felt it. He called it bully ball.
Man, it was so fun. You know what I mean? We That's kind of one of those games the offensive linemen pride themselves on and they love to be a part of. So for us to be able to get out there and get out there like that and get grimy and play bully ball, like JC said, man, that thing was so fun.
Yeah, Mark Schlereth brought it up too, the conditions of that game, and they affected things early, Kyler Murray especially on that first drop back.
Mm-hmm.
But he pointed it out. The only people that are enjoying this right now are the offensive linemen for both teams.
Yeah, and it was a very astute point because a lot of people who just watch football and don't like study it or know it, yeah, it's not something you think of, but if a defensive player can't get around the edge and uses speed because of the weather and the track and the footing, that is a big advantage to an offensive lineman.
Uh-huh.
And that's why they probably love that kind of stuff. Yeah, that was a good point that he made there. And again, it wasn't always obviously a clean game for the Cardinals. There was daffy play calling at times. There was the bad penalty on Dennis Gardeck, but this team just... Again, especially on the road, finds a way to make big plays at big times,
even
big moments.
Even the head coach was getting physical yesterday, spitting out blood on the sidelines in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I was a bit dramatic about that, but I was super frustrated. So it was basically karma for me not being able to control my emotions. When we you know, roughed the punter, basically. That's what happened. I ran into Leki Fotu, the biggest guy on the field. So I think it was God letting me know I need to settle down.
I don't know. I would have been upset about that penalty,
like that
too, if I was Cliff Kingsbury. Kyler Murray was asked about Kingsbury's bloody lip, too.
Yeah, I saw him on the sideline, you know, dabbing his lip up. I don't know what. Apparently somebody hit him in the lip with a helmet. I'm not sure. But, yeah, I think he's getting taken care of.
Yeah, it didn't look like too much fun when they showed the replay. Isn't that crazy, the footage that they get during the course of the game? And most of it you never see.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, that was a very dumb play by Dennis Gardeck, especially in that, because in the moment when that happened, I thought, if they just opened a door for the Bears team. And then you realized it's Andy Dalton
shut the door behind him politely on the way out.
And then they throw an interception, and the return gives a much better field position than the punt would have given him.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
Attention, Cardinals fans, we are issuing a code red all week as the division rival LA Rams invade State Farm Stadium for Monday Night Football December 13th. Text RED, R-E-D, to 620-620. Listen for your names all week long, 7:30, 12:30, 4:30. If you hear your name, you can win two tickets to see the Cardinals take on the Rams. Once again, if you haven't done it, do it now. Text RED to 620-620. We'll hand out some weekend hardware next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right, welcome back to Bickley and Murata Mornings here on this Victory Monday. Sarah Cazell with Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, and Jarrett Carlin. We are Bickley and Murata Mornings, and we are now looking to ArizonaSports.com, guys, for today's Arizona Sports poll question. Ooh, here we go. Who are you more confident in to win a championship this season? The Cardinals or the Suns? Both at the top of their league right now, or close to the top of their league.
I've written about this. The Cardinals obviously could have a much cleaner path to a title. That's obvious. The Suns have the experience.
Hmm.
I'm voting the Suns.
I'm going Cardinals. I totally agree with the experience factor being key in all of this and leaning on that experience, and I think we've seen them do that so far. But you mentioned it. If the Cardinals do this right in the last 5 weeks, they're going to have to win three games to win a championship.
Yep.
Whereas
that's manageable.
The Suns, no matter what they do the rest of the way, they still have to win 16 games to win a championship.
And
that is a gauntlet.
The Cardinals would only have to travel 50 minutes to win a championship.
Is that crazy?
Two home games and a Super Bowl in Southern California.
That is true.
Wow. I'll place a vote for the Cardinals since I can only vote for one.
Okay.
Oh!
50-50?
Of course. Very close. 52% of the vote for the Suns, 48% of the vote for the Cardinals. What a time to be an Arizona sports fan.
Yeah, you know, now it's just up to the teams to make that not even a debate. Just, you know, go out and both win championships.
Please.
And everybody will be happy.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
Today's Sanderson Ford poll question. You can vote on it right now on the homepage at arizonasports.com.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata. Handing out the hardware.
Yeah, hardware is our version of the award show. We do it on Mondays. It's brought to you by our friends at Revitalize. Make changes that can last a lifetime with Revitalize. Schedule your initial weight loss consultation today, 480-435-3557. Check them out online at revitalizeweightloss.com and join the Bickley and Murata Revolution. What do you got, Bick?
The Misguided Priorities Award, Vinny, I'm going to give to the University of Miami's administration, which is going to pay Mario Cristobal $9 million to buy him out of Oregon. They're going to spend $7 to $8 million to buy out Manny Diaz. And people say, where's this money coming from? The Athletic uncorked this following paragraph. Quote, until recently, Miami's administration had been unwilling to allocate funds to the athletic department, instead leaving it to cover all expenses on its own. But the success of Miami's U Health system, which made more than $400 million in profits last year, and promises from big-time boosters and donors to back up upgrades at Miami, changed the school's stance. So many issues with that. A healthcare system at the University of Miami that profited $400 million? How much are you charging people? Oh, yeah, a lot.
That's nuts.
Don't get me started on that.
$400 million in a year?
Yeah. And then taking that money
and
put into
giving
your
it
college
to a
football
college
program?
Football coach.
Woo!
Yeah.
By the way,
why don't you pay some nurses? How about that?
Woo! Damn, Bickley.
Just on the football front, I don't disagree with you, by the way, but Mario Cristobal, look, I know he's from Miami. I know he wore that uniform. It's been a goal to get back there. Is leaving Oregon to go to Miami a step down? I think so.
Well, if it's his goal to get back there, that's not the way he's looking at it.
I know.
But you're right. I think I look at it the same way you do.
Yeah.
Wow. It is, though. It is the third active coach from a major program and leaving to go to another program this offseason.
Right, exactly.
Crazy.
For money. But this one is a little more personal. But
and guess what? There's now speculation that another coach is going to leave a major program to take the Oregon job.
Yes, there is.
Chip Kelly, back to Eugene. My first award is the Smooth Move Award, and I'm giving it to Pittsburgh quarterback Kenny Pickett. I can't show you the video. We're radio, for goodness sakes, but I can let you know what it sounded like.
Pickett, a very good runner. Don't sleep on those legs. Oh, he faked the slide! Sauce time! Pickett!
If you haven't seen it, it's worth finding the replay.
Mm-hmm.
First scoring drive of the game for Pittsburgh. He scores on a 58-yard touchdown run, and in the midst of it, kind of pulls up, acts like he's going to slide. The defense you could see the body language of the defense go, we can't hit him.
Uh-huh.
And then he just booked it into the end zone for a touchdown. It reminded me of a play when I was a kid. 49ers were playing the Giants in the playoffs. And Joe Montana got loose, and he was going towards the sidelines, and he pulled up. The entire Giants defense let him pull up, and then he planted his foot and went down the sidelines and got like 20 more yards. We've seen like the fake spike before. The fake slide, I absolutely love that.
That's a dirty play.
It is a dirty play.
I love it.
It is the way the rules are.
I love it.
You shouldn't be able to do that.
No, I loved it too.
No, it's a dirty play because now what's the defensive player supposed to do now?
Catch up.
Make sure he's sliding.
And how do you do that?
Especially in
watch
real
him.
Time.
Don't give up on the play.
Hurdle over him.
Okay. Yeah, I loved it.
Okay.
I loved it.
Okay. The Dunce Cap Award, Vinny, goes to the Minnesota Vikings. That defense they played on Jared Goff's touchdown pass, classic Mike Zimmer. Keep everything in front of you. Keep everything in front of you. Even if a guy's in the end zone. Keep them in front of you.
Don't get beat deep on
this. Get big deep.
11-yard pass.
Right.
Yeah, that was pretty ridiculous.
Joke.
The Vikings fans. You could probably spot Vikings fans today because they're the ones missing just patches of their hair.
Uh-huh.
Because they've been pulling them out all
year.
Yeah,
it's true.
My next award is the Dude, You Just Lost Award. And I'm giving it to New York Giants defensive back Logan Ryan. Giants became the latest victim of the Miami Dolphins, 20-9. Tua Tagovailoa, very conservative passing approach, but he did complete 30 passes for 240 yards. So the Giants didn't have Daniel Jones. They were forced to play Mike Glennon. He had a concussion. After the game, Logan Ryan, the defensive back, said, "Hey, I can be the emergency quarterback if need be." He said, quote, "I'm a lot like Tua. I can throw two-yard passes to the left," which, again, I'll remind you, Logan Ryan.
Dude, you just lost.
Why are you taking shots at the quarterback that just beat you?
That's funny.
It's a funny line, though.
It is a funny line. But, yeah, check down quarterbacks don't get any respect. And he's one of them.
My next award is the Insanity Award, and I'm giving it to all my Chicago homies who sat outside for 3-plus hours in 30-degree temperatures and driving sleet to watch Andy Dalton play quarterback. Fan harder, Chicago!
That is rough. That is brutal. Very rough.
Brutal.
My next award is the That's Discipline, I Suppose Award, and I'm giving it to Arkansas Pine Bluff head basketball coach Solomon Bozeman. Did you see this, Bic?
No.
He was getting frustrated with his team's performance in a loss to Iowa State in Ames, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And he called a timeout, and instead of instructing or drawing up plays, he made his team run. During the timeout.
Oh, I did see
baseline
that.
Baseline to baseline.
Oh, I did see
and
that.
And it caused quite the discussion. Some people are like, how could you do that? Other people think you should applaud him for that kind of discipline. And this was right after ASU's performance against Washington State where they scored 29 points.
Yeah.
I bet some Sun Devil fans wish Bobby Hurley made his team run during that game.
Yeah, yeah, you're right about that. That would have been something, wouldn't it have?
Oh, yeah.
The antacid award I'm giving to me after watching Nick Saban gloat after beating Georgia in the SEC championship game. Did you see what he did? This is the guy that loves to diminish the media, calls what they put out there as rat poison for his players.
Yeah.
And now he was thanking it. So he was acting, he was gloating over the fact that his team was an underdog. Like, how dare you? Give me a break.
I think he said, "That was sure some yummy rat poison."
That's what exactly what he said. Man.
I can't believe they beat
just
Georgia so easily.
Destroyed Georgia.
I can't believe it.
Ugh.
They did lose John Metchie. It's been confirmed. Okay. ACL, he's out. So he will not play in the playoffs.
Oh, let's go Cincinnati.
That Jameson Williams kid. Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
Cincy's got a couple of All-American cornerbacks, though. That they do have. So, but
Georgia,
I know, let's go Cincinnati,
Georgia,
man.
Had the best defense ever assembled, Vic.
Yes, they did.
My next award is the Update Award. And I mentioned this guy earlier. Presbyterian head coach Kevin Kelly. You know, the never punt coach. Go for it on fourth downs, onside kick, never kick field goals.
Mm-hmm.
The one season, the season ended, they went 2-9 overall, 0-8 in conference, mm-hmm. and it's over now. He stepped down. Put out a tweet on the weekend saying, yeah, I'm pursuing other options now.
Wow.
Listen to some of these scores that they lost by at Presbyterian. They won their first game 84-43, then 68-3. Then they lost 72-0. They lost games 63-43, 70-35, 69-28, 65-55, 57-32, and 54-15. I looked it up. They did not attempt one field goal all year long, and they punted 9 times, but 3 of those were by the quarterback, presumably on, like, fourth and long, where they just dropped back. And it's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll ever work, but he's gone. That experiment was one year and over.
Wow. And how about Joe Brady getting fired?
on a bye week?
the fact that that guy, I mean, because he took apart the Cardinals' defense, didn't he? That one game 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Last season? Yeah. Everybody thought he was like...
And pretty much this year, too.
Yeah, right.
So the architect of the offense of LSU's national championship team and the head coach of the LSU national championship team have both been fired by different teams this season.
That's right.
There you go. There's hardware. We do it on Mondays, brought to you by Revitalize. Coming up next, Big Red Monday. We cap it off with a little Big Red Crosstalk. Wolf and Luke will join us straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Bickley and Murata, Wolf and Luke, Big Red Monday, Crosstalk.
I mean, he, those interceptions, if he throws one, it affects him greatly. He talks about really being averse to doing it, and he's just able to protect the ball and still play that style of football.
Cliff Kingsbury talking about his quarterback, Kyler Murray. No turnovers for the Cardinals yesterday in the wind and the rain and the cold, and they win again. Seven straight on the road, all by double digits, 33-22 over the Chicago Bears. Big Red Monday continues, even when we're done. Here at 10 o'clock, as Wolf and Luke will take over. And they're live from the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center after another Cardinals win. Guys, how are you today?
Doing pretty good, Vinny.
Doing great.
Yeah, let's start there. The lack of turnovers. Five straight games with no turnovers on the road. Turnovers, obviously, a huge factor in moving the scoreboard for the Cardinals because they forced four and they turned into 24 points. But let's focus on the Cardinals and ball security. Wolf, that's really impressive to take care of the ball to that extreme in those extreme conditions.
Yeah, no, you're right about that, Vin. And there's no doubt about it. Going into that game, there were a lot of people, including the Chicago Bear fans, that felt like the Arizona Cardinals were going to come up there. They're a dome team. They're from Arizona. Are you kidding me? We're going to go ahead and we're going to give them a little taste of what it's like to play real football around here. And it never materialized for the Chicago Bears because the Arizona Cardinals refused to give the ball up on the road. It's truly incredible, guys, when you sit here and talk about the fact the Cardinals have won seven consecutive road games by double-digit points, which is truly amazing, and then the fact that the last five games on the road, they have not given up the ball. Guys, I'm telling you, that's something special.
Yeah, all morning I've been kind of really digging this physicality of the Cardinals, and we all knew going into the season, I know you talked about it, Wolf, but you can see it. You can see it on defense. Byron Murphy Jr. hits people with bad intent. Isaiah Simmons does the same. Buda Baker stood up David Montgomery, and it's that kind of stuff I think really separates this team from what we've seen in recent past.
Yeah, I mean, they win games now. Like a game like yesterday, you don't necessarily think of the Cardinals going into that environment and that weather. And yes, they're a much better team than Chicago, but still, you that's the sort of game you look at and say, okay, maybe they just want to play finesse football and they can't do it. They did the exact opposite, like that Buda Baker tackle you're talking about. I know that he does that a lot, but it's just, is there a player in the league that's more fun to watch tackle somebody in the open field than Buda Baker? But to go out there and win that sort of physical game that's just nasty in the rain and the wind, and like you said, not even turn the ball over, that's the sign of a really, really good football team. Not maybe even more so than the 10-2 record.
See, I want to jump in here if I can about that physicality. I love the fact you guys are pointing out that play by Buda Baker, because do you think that impacts his teammates when they watch?
Oh
my gosh, guys, you don't even know what that's like on the sideline when you see a guy who's as diminutive as Buda Baker stand up a dude who's 5'10", 225, a good running back, a strong running back, to see him tackle him, not just tackle him, but knock him, stand him up. That hurt Buda Baker, I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
That hurts to do that. And every guy on that sideline, every guy on that field that watched him do it, they knew that hurt. And yet at the same time, it fills you with this, oh my goodness, I'm going to rip your face mask off. Because this guy, this is exactly what Steve Keim was looking for when he went out and said, we've got to get more physical and we've got to bring better leadership into the locker room. This is exactly what he's talking about, because you get enough dogs, they start looking at guys like Buda Baker, and it reminds everybody else, this is what it takes to win. This is what it takes to be a physical football team. And, guys, right now, I mean, honestly, the Cardinals inside that locker room, the vibe they got going right now, they're feeding off of each other.
Yeah, we're talking on this Big Red Monday with Wolf and Luke. They're up next from 10 to 2. They'll have their weekly visit with Cliff Kingsbury later on today. And now that it's in the rearview mirror, I mean, there was so much talk the last month. When's Murray coming back? When's Hopkins coming back? They were seemingly day-to-day and game-time decisions for a month, but they both come back yesterday, and I think there was some concern, how are they affected by the weather? But now that it's, you know, past them, and you didn't have to rely on Kyler Murray to really throw the ball a lot. You didn't have to rely on DeAndre Hopkins to carry the load offensively in the passing game. I don't know if it could have worked out better than it did yesterday because they weren't overexposed.
Yeah, we were wondering going into that, you know, how well are you going to really be able to evaluate them if the weather is as bad as it is? And my worry all week was more so about Hopkins. I mean, yeah. I think we all figured Kyler was going to come back. But, you know, Kyler accounted for 4 touchdowns yesterday. And like you said, he didn't turn the ball over. So I feel pretty good about him. And it almost seemed like they went out of their way to make sure he threw one to DeAndre Hopkins for that first touchdown to just kind of let everybody know, okay, these guys are good to go. So, you know, like you said, we didn't see a lot from Hopkins yesterday. I think a lot of that was just the way the game was being played and the weather, but I certainly feel great about Kyler Murray again.
Yeah, I was really, I told Vinny this earlier, I was really worried after the first couple of plays that Kyler Murray was going to have a heck of a time gripping and throwing the football, and I think he adjusted, and I think that they called the plays necessary to get him through a game in which he, where everybody was struggling to throw the football. But that's, but the fact that he found ways to make big plays really encouraged me. It sort of illuminated how good and special this season could be eventually.
Yeah. Guys,
no doubt about it, guys.
Yeah, we'll be listening. Enjoy another victory Monday, man.
10-2, baby.
It's getting old, but we love it.
No, it's not getting old.
Not getting old.
Yeah, right, Vinny. What are you talking about?
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Wolf and Luke coming up from the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals training facility from 10-2, and then Burns and Gambo will continue. Big Red Monday. Thanks to Howard Balzer for joining us. Thanks to you for listening. We will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Have a great day, everybody.